Ecclesiastes 4, starting at verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Second passage is from John 15, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you, Val. So today we come to the end of our fairly brief series, actually, which we've entitled Living in Community, Being the Community of God's People. And we'll kind of come back to it, but in a slightly different way, when we're looking at being the 21st century church as we go through the period April-May time, our particular 125th anniversary celebrations during that time. Next week we start a new series. That new series will be looking at parables in Luke, and Paul will be preaching the first of those. So at the end of this series, we are looking at friends and the vitality of friendship. Quick reminder of what we've already looked at. We've already looked at the fact that community is vitally important, because community is in the nature of God, and therefore it's in the nature of his people. That's what we were learning when we looked at the Trinity. We learned also in our all-age service about the importance of not being alone. It's never been God's intention for people to be individualistic or just on their own. And that includes the faith community. And then a practical demonstration of that last time, we were looking at Moses and his overwork and overload, and then sharing the load as the 70, the elders of Israel were appointed. So that's where we've got to. And now we're looking at friendship. Are some of you old enough, as it were, to remember the American sitcom Friends? Became very famous over the course of the 1990s and early 2000s, over 200 episodes of the program. Our oldest Tom has been reliving it. Well, I mean, he was not old enough really to appreciate it, but he's been enjoying it in recent weeks and months. And when he came to stay last week, he was going through episode after episode. The creators of Friends put that quote in that I've put at the bottom of the slide. It's about friendship, because when you're single and in the city, your friends are your family. And that connects very much with what Jesus is saying in John, and indeed what the wisdom writings in the Old Testament are talking about in terms of friends and family. We all have our own friends, don't we? And some of us have got friends that go back a long way. Has anybody got friends that they've been friends with for, let's say, more than 30 years? Yeah, Look around. Quite a few have got friends that have stayed the distance. And so that is Sue with our friend Joe, and lurking in the background. I have no idea what her husband Martin is doing in the background there, but we were with them and going for a walk in... Diana, do you recognise that place? Farley. Okay, Farley Woods, really good wood for bluebells, if you don't know. And I think that's one of the reasons we were going there with them. They have been, Sue and my friends, since we were at university together. That's where we met them, and that is more than 30 years ago. But lots of different places. Sue also has some friends going back to school times as well. But do we think of our Christian community also being a community where we make friends, where we have friends, where we are friends as well? I don't want us to be exclusive in any way, because actually we want to be an inclusive community that welcomes absolutely everybody. But how can we be inclusive if we're not yet friends with each other? As a community caring and loving for one another. Did you know there are over 170 references in the Bible? It may not be the first thing you think about concerning God, God being our friend, but there are over 170 references to friend, friends, and friendship in the Bible. Jesus not infrequently addresses people with the term friend. So the paralyzed man, Jesus is actually going out to him, a man who was fearful of rejection because of that sense of sin and guilt he carried. But Jesus, instead, in just using that term friend, is indicating that he is welcoming. To Judas in Gethsemane, when Judas is here to betray, the poignancy in the fact that Jesus addresses him as his friend, because that's how Jesus viewed all of his disciples. In John, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The first choosing was the calling of each of those disciples, including Judas, into a relationship that was one of friendship. And Jesus is putting in a final test of that friendship as he addresses him by the word friend. And then after his death and resurrection, the picture up on the slide, the disciples, having gone fishing, having caught nothing, they see Jesus walking along the shore. At that point, they're not sure it's Jesus, but Jesus addresses them, not by name yet, because he's not yet going to reveal who he is, but he is going to something of his relationship with them. Friends, have you caught nothing? So that's the words of Jesus to his disciples and to others. In the Old Testament, we find Abraham being described as God's friend. You descendants of Abraham, my friend, in the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41. And James picks up on that in the New Testament, because the Jews had picked up on it. The Jews knew that Abraham was God's friend, and therefore that they were his people and were his friends too. And then in Exodus, we read of Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And the revolution of the New Testament is that what was thought to be the exclusive preserve of Moses in being able to talk to God like that, Jesus now says everybody can speak to God in that same face-to-face way that you might speak to a friend. So it's really important that we get hold of the fact that God wants to talk to us as a friend. How did you feel as we were singing that song, What a Friend I Found? I know of some Christians who find it almost impossible to sing that song that we've just sung, because they think it's too intimate. It's not showing enough respect towards God. And yet, if you look in the Bible, which is his word, of what he is saying to us, He is actually saying, this is the kind of relationship I want with you. And by the way, don't be frightened of letting go and allowing yourself to come into this relationship that I'm inviting you into. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we find so often the writers of the letters are talking about their friends, and dear friend, so more than simply a friend, is mentioned at least six times of six different Christians in the New Testament. In Romans 16, in the greetings where Paul lists off dozens of people, but there are three, Epaphras, Stachys and Persis, who he particularly labels as his dear friend, had a particularly close relationship with them. Luke is described by Paul as his dear friend in Colossians 4, and Philemon in the introduction is actually addressed as Paul's dear friend. 3 John, Gaius is referred to as a dear friend 4 times, emphasizing the importance of friendship. We've had our reading from Ecclesiastes, but we could equally have had our reading from the book of Proverbs. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. The closeness between a friend and between a family member. Your family members are meant to be amongst your best friends. Your friends are meant to be pretty much like your family. In fact, I grew up calling some of my parents' friends uncle and auntie because they'd been brought into, we use the term a courtesy uncle or a courtesy aunt. What it basically means is the friends of your mum and dad is what it's after. So that the boundaries between friendship and family become blurred, and that's a good thing. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sue, you quoted that to me on our way down this morning, didn't you? I was just in preparation for the sermon. I was just testing out, you know, what does Sue think about friends? And so being the holy member of the family, she came out with this quote straight away. You hadn't seen my notes, had you?
No.
And then from Ecclesiastes, from our reading from Ecclesiastes 4, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their labour. Think how much more we as a church have been able to do since Tim has come on board. That is, you know, a really good example of more than 1. 2 having a good return for their labour. If they fall down, they can help each other up, but pity those who fall and have no one to help them up. And what a lovely picture. I don't know if you were watching in the 2016 Olympics, the women's 5,000 metres semi-final race, and these two girls, one from America and one from New Zealand. I think the New Zealander's name is Hamblin and the American's is D'Agostino. They basically tripped over each other and both ended up in a pile on the floor. As you can see, Agostino was the first one up here and seeks to reassure and help Hamblin up. And then having Hamblin got up, Agostino falls because she realizes that her ankle was much more seriously damaged than she had at first. Actually, you can see her, that she's not quite standing on it there. Basically, they both assisted each other to get to the end of the race, and this is them embracing at the end of it. And of course, because of the fall, they ended up, both of them, way back, coming in last. And in fact, Agostino was so injured, I think she'd torn a ligament of some kind, that she trailed in a long time after the others. The stadium rose to clap because of her completing, and in fact, because of the sportsmanship of both of them helping each other, the Olympic Committee awarded both of them a sportsmanship medal, which is actually, you might say, oh, yeah, very, very rare within the IOC to give out those medals. Those who fall down and have got someone to lift them up, and that is the value of a friend. That is what Ecclesiastes is talking about. Have any of you been watching the BBC and Winter Watch and so on this week? Well, mention was made of the poor little long-tailed tit. You can see the long tail here. Try counting how many birds there are there. There are actually 8 birds in that photo, but I have seen photos where there's more like 15 or a dozen birds, considerably more. Because they are very small birds at this time of year, they flock together and they, as here, they roost together in order to share each other's warmth and stay warm. We take heating for granted. They have no heating, central heating. And of course, in Old Testament days and New Testament days, no such thing as central heating, which is why a family would, generally speaking, all sleep in the same room so they could share and benefit from each other's heat. And Ecclesiastes is talking about that when it says, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And Isaiah also talks about the poor soul who hasn't got a blanket that's big enough to cover them as well, doesn't he? Let's get to the heart of what friendship is all about. You are my friends is what Jesus wants us to hear. There is, of course, the condition, the if, but the essence of what Jesus is saying is, I am inviting you into a relationship of friendship with me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I am calling you into friendship. Have each one of us responded to Jesus and responded to his invitation to come into a loving relationship, a relationship of friendship, of interdependence? This is amazing, isn't it? We recognize Jesus as Lord, and yet he describes our relationship in interdependent terms. But what I find fascinating about the condition when Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command, is on first reading, it doesn't entirely make sense, does it? Because when I read the if you do what I command, I don't associate friendship with it. I tend to associate commands with being disciples. You are my disciples if you do what I command, is how I would most naturally read that. You are my friends if you love me. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, is how I would expect Jesus to say, you are my friends if. But he says, if you do what I command. So what is Jesus getting at here? I don't know, to be perfectly honest, but what I think Jesus is driving at is he doesn't want our friendship with him to be self-indulgent. Jesus says, you are my friends. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. I want to spend my time with you. I want to learn from you. I want to grow in you. I want to go to all the conferences I can. I want to go to big worship events and so on. And I want to have our relationship. I mean, there's that sense of which it becomes unhealthy if we're just, you know, drinking in the love and the relationship all the time. And what Jesus is saying is the reciprocity of our relationship with him needs to be practical if you do what I command. So don't just say that you love me, but demonstrate that you love me. He wants active love, not a passive love, which is just kind of absorbing and taking in his love all the time. I put down the bottom here, Jesus does not command us to love him. Actually, he kind of does. He is saying it is really important to love him. But what I'm really want to emphasize, though, is he is particularly clear in this passage in John 15 that his command about love, he is deflecting it from himself to say, actually, if you say you love me, this is my command, love each other. And why is he saying, how can you demonstrate your love unless you love each other? Because he tells us in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, remain in my love. And what he is really saying is, I give out, as I have my working, loving, intimate relationship with the Father, it then flows out into my relationship with you. Now you need to understand that my relationship with you needs to flow out into you being loving towards other people. So Jesus commands, love each other as I have loved you. And I've put down on this slide a number of examples of what Jesus does in terms of his relationship, his love, his friendship, his acceptance of his disciples. So the very first thing is, you know, you did not choose me, I chose you. Jesus calls into friendship. He calls each of the disciples. He calls each of us into this loving relationship. That is Jesus demonstrating his friendship towards us. Jesus helps when stuck. So can we think of a situation when the disciples were stuck? Well, think about coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were helpless in the situation of trying to bring healing to the deaf and dumb young boy. And they came to Jesus. Or think about the situation of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said, you feed them, and they say, whoa! And Jesus said, okay, you need a hand, don't you? Jesus helps when they are stuck. These are signs of what a friend does. A friend invites into friendship. A friend helps when stuck. Jesus rescues when in trouble. Peter is the classic example of that when he is sinking after having walked towards Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, oh, you stupid idiot, why didn't you have faith? He does say, why didn't you have faith? But he rescues. There are times when we might want to have stern words with our friends, but it doesn't stop us rescuing if we genuinely care for them and love and we want to help them and get them out of their trouble. What about when friends let us down? I asked you to put up your hands if you've had a friend for more than 30 years. But what if you've had other friends who have seriously let you down? Are you still in touch with them? Have you been able to restore your relationship with those friends with whom you had a deep relationship? Now that's where Jesus' friendship goes another mile, because when Peter denies him, Jesus gives him the opportunity, to give him a second opportunity. So when Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? He is saying, I'm calling you again into this relationship of friendship. I'm saying I am restoring and repairing this relationship. And of course, Jesus dies. That's what this chapter says, verse 13 of John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Quoted so often in November, round about Armistice Day, about those soldiers who give their lives for their country, but for their comrades as well. But it's supremely about Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm dying for you not just because you're a sinner, but I'm dying for you because you're my friend. And I want you to be my friend. And I want you always to be my friend. So you and I think we have a label across here that says sinner. Jesus sees a label that says friend. When are we going to get that message? That's why he died for us. And he promises faithfulness in his relationship. And then Jesus talks about his joy filling us as well within this chapter in John. that your joy may be complete, that my joy may be in you. Verse 11. So if you look at all of those things going down there, what Jesus does for us, then we need to think about ourselves. Because Jesus is saying, right, okay, as he initiated the friendship to us in inviting and calling us, we are now to be the initiators. How are folk going to come into the life of the church and feel a part of the life of the church and feel involved and included if somebody, and we are all those everybodies, if somebody doesn't welcome? Love each other as I have loved you. I welcomed you, so you welcome too, is what Jesus is saying. So we are the ones who initiate friendship, not someone else. We initiate the friendship. We are the ones who Jesus then calls to help when others are stuck and in need of help, when others are in trouble. Hence, because Pearly Food Hub says, we need help, could you let everybody know? We say, yes, of course we'll let everybody know, so we can help Pearly Food Hub, so Pearly Food Hub can help others. We forgive as we have been forgiven. Otherwise, we have no right to come to this table. And Jesus makes that clear as he teaches the Lord's Prayer to us. So we also, as Jesus has sacrificed so much for us, need to be sacrificial in our relationship with our friends. Instead of being demanding of our friends, we offer much to our friends. The whole point of this is that it's not about being Jesus' friend in that passive sense. It's being a friend. Being a friend to others is what Jesus is talking about. And so we promise faithfulness whatever happens. And then if our relationship with Jesus is joy-filled, our relationship with each other will be joy-filled as well. So, friends living in community is what Jesus wants in John 15, and what we get a little glimpse of in Ecclesiastes as well. Take it on board. Jesus is our friend. You are my friends. And then he invites us to follow his command, which is to befriend other people in the way that he has befriended us. Only the term he uses is love. Love each other as I have loved you. Let's join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, how stupid we are when we believe the lies of the evil one who just wants to rub in that we are sinners and not deserving of your love. We don't need that to be told to us. We know it. But what we do need is to know that we are loved by you. And Father, forgive us for the many, many times when we simply have skirted over your word and not paid attention to the depth of the love, the loving kindness, the mercy, the relationship that you are calling us to. That song had it right. You do want a relationship that is more intimate than lovers or brothers or mothers. May we open our hearts and let you in. And not only let you in, but Lord Jesus, may we learn from you and learn from your love and so be the kind of loving, gracious, generous, outgoing friends to others that you are to us. And so, as we began this service thinking about lacking in energy and needing a top-up, now we realize that top-up is in order to serve. in order to be those friends that you want us to be to those around us in the community. Jesus, fill us that we may truly empty ourselves again in serving, loving, and befriending. In your name and for your glory's sake, we pray. Amen.